collected by publishers until 1936, when the Macmillan Company, U.S., and Cassells & Company, England, picked it up. Considered more an autobiography than any of her other novels, and surely her most blatantly political, it was greatly influenced by her years living under Soviet oppression. Rand began writing her monumental work, The Fountainhead, in 1935. The book was not published until 1943, and she took a break in 1937 to complete her anti-collectivism novella, Anthem. Her protagonist, architect Howard Roark, represented the kind of hero that encompassed her ideals, a man who listened to his own convictions and never fell victim to social pressures. In short, the ultimate individual. The Fountainhead was rejected by 12 publishers before being picked up by the Bobbs Merrill Company. Once it was published, it made history by becoming a bestseller primarily through word of mouth. This publishing industry anomaly further advanced Rand's reputation as an advocate of individualism. Hollywood beckoned with an offer to adapt The Fountainhead to film. Ayn Rand returned there in 1943 to write the screenplay, but World War II post-production delays. The film did not start shooting until 1948, starring Gary Cooper in the role of Roark. During the delay, Rand worked as a screenwriter for Hal Wallace Productions, but more importantly, began her most famous novel, Atlas Shrugged, in 1946. The novel consumed her, and in 1951, she moved back to New York City to devote herself to its completion. Atlas Shrugged was published in 1957 and is still considered her greatest work, as it touches upon a variety of social and philosophical topics, such as metaphysics and epistemology, while addressing the more pop culture areas of sex and politics. The book also sealed her association with the philosophical concept of objectivism, which she called a methodology for living on Earth. The objectivism movement caught fire, inspiring Rand to establish objectivist periodicals from 1962 to 1976. Generally, people who read Ayn Rand's philosophy and words either love or hate them. The heroes portrayed generally overcome great obstacles, and it is they who move the world and carry it on their shoulders. Atlas, as the noun in the title of her novel implies, is the often used Greek mythological figure that represents strength and who alone is able to hold the world upon his shoulders. He is at once cursed by the gods with his burden and made a hero for his eternal effort. By some accounts, then, the raison d'etre of most of Rand's writing is reactionary. That is, it demonstrates her impulse to write and rail against the complex events she witnessed at a time of great world upheaval in a philosophical rather than an imaginary, strictly fictional way. Atlas Shrugged is more a study of Rand's observations on the nature of being human in real life. The novel is a study of those who have the ability to see, to make connections, and create what has not been created before, and a warning to those who cannot seem to do so. The use of made-up names of characters is purely fictional, but her philosophies and whom the characters might represent are not. Not many writers of her time period could produce novels of such intensity, since the world was indeed a difficult place to live in from 1900 to 1946. Ayn Rand died on March 6, 1982. Although her work is often not included in the tome of what constitutes true literature, her career is remarkable in that every book she wrote in her lifetime remains in print. Her unique take on how to successfully live life by rejecting ethical altruism and following one's own pursuits exclusively will always have fans as well as detractors. However, she nonetheless launched a mindset which, to this day, impacts the arena of cultural influences on a global scale. A brief synopsis. Howard Roark and Peter Keating are architectural students at the famed Stanton Institute of Technology. However, their experiences at the school could not be more diverse. Roark is expelled as he has refused to complete the requirements for classical design courses, a tradition he finds archaic and contrary to his artistic sensibility. Instead, he leaves for New York to take a position with a formerly respected designer, Henry Cameron, who has since fallen from grace for his modernistic approach. Peter, on the other hand, has chosen to take the path of least resistance and become the ultimate conformist, doing whatever is needed in order to succeed. He becomes valedictorian of his class and is offered a scholarship to the École des Beaux-Arts in Paris. Peter refuses the scholarship in favor of a well-paying position in New York with designer Guy Francon, who has become the top luminary in the field. The world of architecture at this competitive level is corrupt, to say the least. But Peter quickly learns how to coexist and thrive nonetheless. He swiftly gets promoted, developing a tight friendship with Francon himself. Roark, on the other hand, develops a similar friendship with Cameron, whose practice is nearly non-existent. A new architecture critic, Ellsworth Toohey,